The following hour is brought to you by MidasResources.com, your trusted source for precious metals since 1996. Call Midas today at 1-800-686-2237.
Our yard was pretty well a pond, so we wanted to come see how bad the creek was running, and it's a tremendous amount of water. It's unbelievable.
Colorado, all wet. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Yeah, they're going to get $58 million in federal dough because they've got lots of people that are really, really stuck in some terrible situations because of the massive amount of water. It's interesting because so many other parts of this great country, the nooks and crannies where maybe some of you live, it's all about the drought and how much you're desperate for rain and what it's doing to the terrain and what it's doing to the water supplies, and towns talking about having to recycle the water again and again and again. But in Colorado, not the case. They're talking about much more money that they're going to get as a result of some nasty floods that wiped out way too many areas. You saw the pictures, and in some cases, it just wasn't houses floating. It looked like just massive trees were floating too as well. And then, you know, we've got the wildflowers. Not the flowers. They wish they had the flowers. We have the wildfires in California that they're constantly battling because of the winds and dry temperatures in the north and in the south. They've just doused the last part of those. So it's just the typical thing that we see, that Mother Nature deals out the cards, and when they're shuffled, ultimately, they end up in a lot of different directions. And in Colorado, it happens to be, it's all about the water and the floods. When it comes to the border, however, it's all about who's crossing over, how fast are they getting processed, why don't we have more immigration judges, and what do we do when people disappear into the ether, poof, after they've been given a court date, they just take off. John McCain's going to introduce a bill that will propose ankle monitors. Slap an ankle monitor on them so you know where they are at all times. In one way, it feels a little creepy to me. I just saw Planet of the Apes, and I saw humans thrown in these cages, and then also the apes thrown in, the talking apes thrown in the cages, and saw those cuffs on them, and for some reason it reminds me, I think, a little of that. But it's a huge problem, and you cannot just allow that to continue. Because in some cases, criminals are getting through. When you check their records, that's it. They're gone. Here's your court date. Geez, we're going to look you up. Uh-uh. They're already on a train to a different part of the country. Forget about it. When it comes to getting money to get those judges, more Border Patrol agents, and to turn this process around, try to get some more facilities to house these kids, the president is pretty clear he needs almost $4 billion in emergency spending right now. Right now. And that doesn't secure the borders. That doesn't mean the flow stops. It means that the process of getting people processed sooner helps and unburdens what isn't crippling task right now. Republicans are saying, well, not so fast. So you want us to say okay to the $4 billion, but we want something else. We want legislation that would expedite the return of the kids by themselves, the unaccompanied minors that are flooding the border. Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, we know the big three in Central America. Push them back as fast as possible. Get them on a plane. Turn them around. Because maybe this will stop families from spending the few amounts of money, you know, the few handfuls of money that they've been able to stave away, stack away somewhere, maybe it keeps them from giving them to coyotes who want money to get kids to the border. And the families can't take the kids to the border, so they think this is the best way to spend their money. They think this will stop that if you can turn it around fast. You can make it happen, not so slowly. Congressman Mike McCaul, he's the chair of the Homeland Security Committee, never shy about throwing out his opinion, especially on this subject, was on Fox on Sunday. He said Republicans were considering a limited emergency funding bill that would give money through the end of the fiscal year on September 30th, and that they could attach provisions to tighten border security. Then you had Hal Rogers from Kentucky, whose panel writes the spending bill. He said the current tab is too much, and he didn't say what funding level the committee is considering, but House Republicans are expected to discuss the spending bill at Tuesday's meeting. So it's going to be an interesting week for that. And there's a lot of pushback. There's a lot of pushback from Democrats. They think the president is bending over backwards to the Republicans on the deporting of the kids and not doing enough to really look at it through a humanitarian crisis point of view. Dick Durbin, who is the Senate Majority Whip, said last Thursday that the $15 million request to provide more lawyers to represent the kids was inadequate, and that the children would return to a terrible environment, one that's violent and dangerous. And what are we returning them to? Tom Harkin, another big-time Democrat from Iowa, said, I have a problem with the administration. On the one hand, they say we want to send kids back as soon as possible. Then they turn around and say, but the kids are escaping violence and drugs and sexual abuse and gangs. How do you reconcile those two? And he has a point. He has a point about the White House saying one thing and then turning around and saying another. We got to hurry up. We got to turn them back around. But, oh, boy, look at all these things. What do we do? So we are really caught in the middle of this, and the reason why is because it wasn't a thought-out plan. There was no strategy attached to this, and this is what happens. If you don't have a strategy in place when you're trying to implement something of this magnitude especially, these are the kinds of things that you're going to have happen. Castro, the congressman from Texas, who's getting a lot of notice, a lot of attention these days, some say he could be the vice president on the Hillary Clinton card in 2016, talked about being cautious and changing the law to make it easier to deport the kids. He was part of the Sunday Brigade, too, on NBC. He says they should have the chance to make their case in court for asylum. And the president says he's going to allow for amending the law that would allow Border Patrol agents to actually render a deportation decision themselves to deport the kids. So there's also confusion as to who are you deporting, how are you deporting them, and how many people you're going to let seek asylum, especially kids by themselves on the basis of violence, drugs, or other horrific situations at home. We've just scratched the surface. Hang with us, everybody. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. exercises, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
I didn't believe it.
Neither did I.
No way could you professionally remove unwanted hair, pain-free, and at home.
My thoughts exactly.
Remove my face and body hair without expensive, painful office visits?
Not possible. Great minds think alike.
Until I tried No-No Pro.
Mm-hmm. Wait, you tried No-No?
Yes, and it works. I use it on my face, legs, bikini line.
We're BFFs, and you didn't tell me about No-No?
Here, this is my new No-No Pro. The most powerful No-No made. Custom treatment levels, less hair and less time, perfect for any skin type. Try it.
No hair, no pain, no time consuming expensive office visits?
No, no, and No-No.
For a limited time, you can try No-No Pro risk-free. You'll also get the facial kit and a travel case. Get weeks of long-lasting results.
That's it. I'm getting a No-No.
Great minds do think alike.
Try No-No Pro risk-free by calling 800-952-5760. 800-952-5760. That's 800-952-5760. 800-952-5760.
It was awesome with Ivan Eland. If you're doubting what's happening in the Middle East, we see people are fleeing from the Gaza Strip. We talk about some of what's happened in the Middle East and these so-called neutral governments, if you will, which is ridiculous, the centralized government not working. And we'll dive into that in case you missed it. He's awesome. Big-time writer for the Huffington Post and others, and I think he is probably the most, I think he is the most genuine person of knowledge when it comes to the Middle East and really knowing what's going on internationally. All right, we want to throw it open to all of you at 855-266-5283. What do you think? Ankle monitoring, that's what John McCain, for one, is proposing to help the situation at the border because too many people are disappearing and they're not showing up for their hearings. Jack in Australia. Hello, Jack.
Hello, Kate. How are you? Ankle monitoring is not going to work, my dear.
I don't think it will either, no.
Well, first of all, they've got to get checked in. I don't know if you caught this story over the weekend, but in Mesa, in Arizona, one of the evangelical churches have been using their hall to help document these kids coming in. Now, several busloads turned up at this church hall. And only about 10 of the children in total that turned up there were under the age of 12. The rest of them were all older teenagers, all with gang tattoos, who pushed their way past staff onto the street and met up with people identified as gang members and disappeared into the streets. Mm. They haven't even been documented.
Mm.
Yeah. So you've got to hold on to them long enough to get the damn ankle monitor onto them. And as in recent child sex offence cases have shown, they're just too easy to get off. There was a case, I think it was Virginia, mm-hmm. where the pedophile cut the ankle monitor off, and because of the legal loopholes that law enforcement had to go through to then go and arrest him, he'd already been out and molested another child.
Nice.
In the time to get through the legal wrangling. Now, I don't know if you caught this one over the weekend as well, but Guatemala and Mexico signed a treaty over the weekend that has Mexico getting financial assistance from Guatemala to expedite these children through Mexico to the American border.
Yeah,
so essentially, Guatemala is paying Mexico to supply the buses to get them to the border.
Yeah, and so talk about your deck being stacked. They're feeding them right through the funnel, absolutely.
Yeah. Mexico is essentially, using
profiting.
That border as a form, well, profiting, but as an invasion.
Yeah.
I know that the liberal media would love to just show that, you know, all of these kids are sort of like 7 to 13 years of age. They're nice, innocent kids and so on. But my contacts at Customs and Border Patrol are telling me that the vast majority of these children are between the ages of 15 and 21, and they all have gang affiliation. Yeah, they're not coming to be law-abiding citizens.
Yeah, a lot
they're
of MS
as family.
Yeah, there's a lot of MS-13 at some of the borders, and then at others, the younger kids are still coming through. But at some of the, I've got two friends in the El Paso area, but most of what's happening there is what you said. Most of it is still a lot of that gang affiliation, and they're overwhelmed. Even though you're reading these reports that's not really true, what are they talking about? They are overwhelmed. They can't keep their eye on everything that's happening.
Yeah, you know, then there was a situation, I think it was midway through last week, where large numbers, and they're believed to be Mexican, not Central American, were probing a hole in the fence. And there was about 20 Border Patrol agents there, basically just trying to use pepper spray and tasers to stop this. I mean, they were rocking up with suitcases and wheelbarrows with their possessions to get across the border.
Yeah.
Then there was a case of a lot of them wearing your El Cheapo Dunlop Volley sneakers that had Obama's face and "Yes, we can" written on them.
Yeah. Yes, we can. We can go to the United States and we will seek asylum and we'll be living there.
Yeah, they say that somewhere near 120,000 children or illegal immigrants in this current wave will cross the borders by Christmas time this year.
Oh,
they say
terrible.
For the financial year of 2015, that will be over 250,000.
Wow.
That's average,
so crazy.
And the silly thing is, the legal intake of for immigration, people who do it under the legal system, is only 180,000 families a year.
So why are we allowing that to happen? And that's the problem. And, of course, anyone who legally wants to do it, now all of them, as you know from your own experience, are stuck because of this.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So wrong.
Yeah. Where is the NAACP or some civil rights group, ACLU, sorry, not NAACP, the ACLU? You know, why are they not out there fighting for the civil rights of the law-abiding? You know, I've been trying to get onto Mark Levin's show to try and try and pressure him into, because I still understand he's a practicing lawyer. Or he's still a member of the Bar Association, so he mm-hmm. could take the case. You know, to actually sue the United States government on grounds of discrimination. You know, if you're a law-abiding person and you believe in the American dream, you are being discriminated against.
Yeah, unfortunately, you said it at the top of this, your remarks about the really broad brush strokes of what is being painted out there and what is really being pumped out as to who's coming across and what actually is happening are two different things. The reality and the fantasy of what we're saying. And then the idea that you've got, and there are, you've got some kids that literally have something pinned to them telling them to ask for asylum, but that number is smaller in context to the others who are older, who are trying to get over to hook up with their gangs and figure they can get funneled in, and they are right now. And while others are in line. Yeah.
Yep. The fastest way to stop this is to fly them straight back.
Yep.
And rather than the taxpayer meeting the cost of this, okay, in the short term, yes, the taxpayer will have to, but we start billing the nations that these kids are coming from. I mean, if they've got their birth certificate pinned to them, we know where they came from.
Yeah, that's right.
So we either dump them at the consulate of these countries and say, right, this is your citizen, you deal with it, or we deport them straight back and we bill that nation to get restitution for the costs incurred. You know, they will stop very quickly. Somebody also suggested that we need to, you know, all the countries that are sending these kids are all getting some sort of aid, whether it be humanitarian or military aid from the United States. That aid, while this is going on, needs to be stopped instantly. Okay, you know, if we've got to look after all of these kids, well, we're going to take that aid money and look after them here and then send them back. That's how it's going to get paid for. You know, it's a very simple way of solving the problem and putting the financial aspects of it back onto these home nations and onto Mexico.
Yeah.
It really,
yeah.
You know, we
put
don't
it on
have
them.
To dance wrong and call it, you know, ask for another, was it $3
billion? $3 billion. $4 billion, yeah. Almost $4 billion. $4 billion, Jack, we're up against it. You're absolutely right. It's crazy. It's crazy. And the president is worried because his own party, the Democrats, are pretty divided over what has to be done. Because what's the sensitivity question for the Dems, especially the deporting of the kids who traveled all those miles, turned themselves into the, you know, over to the U.S. to escape supposedly those desperate situations in Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador, but not all of them have that innocence. Some of them are part of the gangs that we've talked about, but that is not what's being pumped out there. Ivan Elin next.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM-1 from Terriganics. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM-1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM-1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganix.com, spelled Terraganix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM-1 from Terraganix. Life's getting better.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can now purchase a one-of-a-kind product not available anywhere else, a meatless burger dry mix in four delicious flavors. With our new Oregon Trail Foods vegan burgers, all you do is add water and fry. They need no refrigeration. They're packaged in Mylar bags with an oxygen absorber for a long shelf life. They're non-GMO. They're gluten, soy, nut, and chemical-free, but they're loaded with flavor and a good source of carbs and protein, yet low in sodium. Flavors include Italian, spicy Mexican, six vegetable, and black bean olive. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com or call 541-229-0010 and order today. Eat them every day, take them camping, or save them for an emergency. Check them out at 30dayfoodsupply.com and click on the vegan burger icon. That's 30dayfoodsupply.com, where all of our products are produced in Oregon by Oregon Trail Foods. 30dayfoodsupply.com.
Moms of America, stand up and stop taking abuse from your kids.
I pledge never to let my kid disrespect me ever again.
I pledge to stop letting my daughter walk all over me.
I pledge to stop living in fear of my son's anger.
I pledge never to feel like a bad parent ever again. Because I'm not.
I pledge to stop letting my child's behavior control my home.
I pledge to be a mom with kids who listen. A total transformation mom.
I'm Janet Lehman, co-creator of the Total Transformation Program. We created the Total Transformation to help parents with difficult child behavior. Now, I'm giving it away free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free.
Call 1-800-256-7795. That's 1-800-256-7795. Call now. Call 1-800-256-7795. That's 1-800-256-7795.
Spring time is save big time at Herbal Healer Academy. Long-term customers know spring is the time to stock up at herbalhealer.com. And for new customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Log on for spring specials, including our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Choose from Herbal Healer's great variety of weight loss products like apple cider vinegar, Hunia and Metabolic Complex, and Pro Metabolic, all on sale now. Also, the anti-parasite Intestinal Freedom and Warwood Plus Complex, plus Stevia Liquid Sweetener and the Super Enzymes, all on sale for spring at herbalhealer.com. As always, we offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on now to herbalhealer.com and click on Spring Specials to save big with our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy.
Boy, we have a lot to talk about with our pal Ivan Elin this time around, senior fellow and director of the Center on Peace and Liberty, the Independent Institute. He had a great article once again in the Huffington Post, Resolving Conflicts in Artificial States. And when we're talking about artificial states, it's interesting some of the comparisons that he makes between, for example, Syria, Iraq, the Ukraine, which we just talked about the Ukraine earlier with Luke Vargas from the UN and what's happening there, to Canada and Belgium, for instance. And I'll let him explain. But Ivan, thanks as always for spending some time with us here on America Tonight.
Thanks for having me on, Kate.
So when you talk about artificial states, and I just gave some broad strokes there, talking about what we're seeing fighting-wise in the countries that I just mentioned, and then looking at other countries that have had some political infighting and conflict, but not the violence. What do you mean by artificial states?
Well, it's usually states that are configured by outside powers, and the territorial boundaries don't fit with the ethno-sectarian makeup of various groups, for instance, overlapping religions, culture, language, et cetera. And there may be people with a significant minority status within those boundaries. Now, academic research shows that if you have 10% or less of a minority in within a certain boundary, you don't really have problems with ethnic fighting usually. Now, of course, the 10% is not completely hard, but around that area. But if you get more than that, for instance, Northern Ireland, there's a third Catholics and two-thirds Protestants, then the minority starts to threaten the majority with a security problem, and that is the security problem is a phenomenon that we see. One side gets threatened, gets defensive arms. The other side sees that's arming, so they get threatened, and then we have this escalation and fighting. So a lot of times these states, especially in the Middle East with Iraq and Syria, the boundaries were drawn after World War One by colonial powers, France and Britain, who wanted to divide up the oil in the Middle East. And so, for instance, Iraq was cobbled together from three provinces of the Ottoman Empire, but none of those three provinces had any links with each other. They all had links with the central Ottoman Empire in Istanbul, but none of them had any cultural or links with each other. So Iraq is a completely artificial state. The same minority groups exist in Syria, and Lebanon has even more groups if you throw in the Christians in there. So they have a substantial group in Lebanon. So all these states, and in Europe, there's a lot of this too in the Balkans. Bosnia, for instance, had Muslims, Croats, and Serbs. And we have this problem in Ukraine where you have Russian speakers in the east and in Crimea in the south, and then you had the regular Ukrainian population as well. But of course, Crimea has been annexed by Putin, but most of the people there wanted to be part of Russia. Now in eastern Ukraine, it's a bit different. We're not exactly sure how many people want to be with Russia and how many people would prefer to stay with Ukraine, but there's a heavy amount of Russian speakers there. So that's where the problem comes in, when these states and the linguistic, religious, ethnic boundaries don't match.
I love what you said, the line that you had in your piece. You say, talk of inclusive governments or power-sharing arrangements in these nations is as naive as Rodney King's heartfelt statement, why can't we get along? And then you go on to explain the only viable solution is to reduce fear. So how do you reduce fear?
Well, the problem with Iraq is the United States, let's take Iraq as the lead example here. The United States is advocating that they get an inclusive government. Well, they've had an inclusive government, supposedly, except it doesn't work that way. It looks inclusive, but then one group, in this case the Shiite, led by Maliki, they try to exclude Sunnis and Kurds from the army and the high political offices. And the reason for that is the Sunnis used to do that to the other groups for decades. And the last Sunni ruler they had that did that was Saddam Hussein. So, of course, the Shiites are nervous that the Sunnis are going to get the central government back and oppress the Shiites again. So they're oppressing the Sunnis. And you see you have this security dilemma again. One side thinks the other side is going to oppress it. And so it tries to get control of the central government. The only way you can reduce the fear is not by having an inclusive power sharing agreement. It's by weakening the central government so that it can't be used to suppress or oppress the other groups. For instance, the Kurds already have an autonomous area up in the north guarded by their own militias. They keep their own security. They have their own judicial system. And so you could still have an Iraq, but what you need to do is decentralize it to have at least two more autonomous regions, maybe more, depending on if different cities want it to be their own autonomous regions, but you'd have a Shiite region, a Kurd region, and a Sunni region, and they would all have their security and their judicial system. You know, the people who have the guns and who decide on the mete out the punishment if people have crimes and stuff, those have been manipulated in the past to oppress people. But if each group has its own system, like the Kurds have had economic success, tranquility, and everything else up in their own autonomous area. But we just keep denying that that's a model for Iraq. You can still have an Iraq, but it would be decentralized with each autonomous area keeping the security and the judiciary, but maybe having a common trade area or a common financial area or a common currency like the EU. So Iraq would be a loose confederation of autonomous regions. And I think you could do the same thing with Syria. Of course, now, the problem, I wrote a book in 2009, which is still relevant. It was called Partitioning for Peace, an Exit Strategy for Iraq, in which I advocated that the U.S., before it withdrew its troops, negotiate a soft partition, soft meaning without violence, you know, negotiated among the groups of autonomous regions to set up the boundaries. And the boundaries have to be set up correctly in these instances so that each autonomous region is viable. But this would be, and I said, you know, either we do this softly before we leave by negotiation, or Iraq is going to be partitioned by war. And that's what we've seen now. I don't think ISIS is going to be strong enough to take Baghdad or the South, since they had no political support there, because those people are Shiites rather than Sunnis, and ISIS is a Sunni group. So Sunnis, the ISIS will control north and western part of Iraq. The Kurds will have the northeast, and the Shiites will have the south. Probably, either Baghdad will be all Shiite or it will be split. But I think most of the it'll probably be cleansed by one group or the other. But anyway, Baghdad could be its own autonomous region as well. So, it's still possible, but I'm afraid it's really going to have to be done by force, and those boundaries are going to have to be established by this war that we're going to have, because it's just this inclusive government that they're proposing. We've already seen one inclusive government fail because it's really not inclusive, and it can't be in a state with that much ethno-sectarian fissures. And the same way with Syria, there's too much bad blood there. And if we don't keep this from spreading, Lebanon could also go back into civil war. Lebanon had a civil war from 1976 to 1990, and of course, it was the groups fighting each other in much the same way they're fighting each other in Iraq and Syria now.
Yeah, and based on what you said there, and of course, it's a little bit different with Afghanistan, but is this kind of a prelude to what we could see with a few different tweaks in Afghanistan?
Well, actually, you're seeing it in Afghanistan too. It's a bit different, as you say. You have the Tajiks and the Uzbeks, which are minorities, and the Pashtuns have always run Afghanistan. They just had an election, and the Tajik guy, he's actually of mixed origin, but he's perceived as being on the Tajik side of things. He won the first round of the election, but mysteriously, in a land where corruption is rampant, the Pashtun guy has won the second round. And so they're having a big dispute, and they're the Tajik, Abdullah, he's threatening to set up his own government. Well, that's the quickest way to a civil war right there. Remember, we had the Confederate States of America and the United States of America fighting the Civil War. So when that happens, and he's threatening to do that. Now, he hasn't done it already, at least not as of early today. Whether he did it today, I don't know, but he's hanging right on the cliff. So we could – Afghan is another sort of, artificial state. Now, of course, the people – the countries of the international system don't like this idea of partitioning, because they look out like China – has groups, India has groups, even Spain and Belgium and Canada have groups that want to separate. But you don't necessarily have to partition the country into new countries, as we did with Yugoslavia. You can have an arrangement like in Bosnia, where you have a weak central government and the groups get to veto things. So there's a little bit of inefficiency there, but sometimes if the government is slaughtering people efficiently, we don't want that to happen. We like inefficiency in that case, and that's what's happened in Bosnia. There's other, like the region that Belgium and Canada have survived is because they have a tolerant political culture, which is based on the fact that Quebec and Canada and the regions in Belgium get a lot of autonomy. They already have autonomy, and yet they still have complaints about, people want their own self-determination, but it's not as acute in Canada and Belgium, where there's violence or whatever, simply because the regions of the country in question already have a lot of autonomy. So you can see that autonomy works, but you don't necessarily have to get rid of countries like Iraq or Syria. You just have to decentralize the government so that it's weak, and that people, that is the central government, so that the groups don't fight over it because they fear that one group is going to use it to oppress the other.
Nice way to tie this up. Ivan Elin, thanks so much for coming on America.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Whoa! This is big!
Not just big, it's the Freeze Dry Guys Giant Factory Authorized Sale. This month, save 30 to 45% off on number 10 cans of high-quality Mountain House freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy. Factory fresh stock just arrived, so now is the time to stock up with the finest, best-tasting, longest-proven shelf-life foods in the industry at giant savings of 30 to 45% off. But hurry, supplies are limited to only the stock we have on hand. Call 866-404-3663. Free shipping to the lower 48 states. Click freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com. Hurry, the Giant Factory authorized Mountain House sale is going on now, only from the Freeze Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283 or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Results will vary from case to case.
Our final turn here on America Tonight. Interesting. Talking about a couple of different things. You see Jack, who called earlier, getting fired up about what's happening on the border. And that's really the buzz in this country. And I think beyond our borders, everybody's talking about it. I have friends in England. What's the first thing they ask me? Wow, what's going on in Texas? What's happening in New Mexico? What's going on along the border? Because of the reports that are coming out, some of the misreporting, I think, and then some of it where you just don't know enough details. And this is the conversation. I mean, this is the buzz in our borders, outside of our borders, and everywhere in between. Something else that comes up whenever there's, I call it the you've got to be kidding me stories. When someone tells you a horrific thing that's kind of scares you because you think, oh, that could be my kids. That could be me. That could be my family. That could be whoever. How about this story about the lightning strikes that killed two people? Lightning strikes killed two people in 2 days in the Rocky Mountain National Park in Colorado. You know, we've talked about lightning before, and I think I mentioned this. I had a friend in college where her brother and father were killed golfing. They were on the same green, lightning hit, boom. I used to think that was just, you have to take cover when you see lightning. But I guess I didn't take it seriously. Now we see more and more stories about this. And the lightning strikes here, there were a couple of people that were traveling on this trail, right? And they, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, poof, comes the lightning, hits the people on the trails at an elevations of just over 10,000 feet and 11,000 feet. So one died right there on the scene, boom, a woman from Ohio. Then they had an air ambulance that landed when the weather broke and took several people to the medical hospitals as close as they could get them, these hikers. And, unfortunately, there wasn't anything they could do there. And they say the park, which is 75 miles from Denver, hadn't had a lightning death since 2000. They had a technical climber was struck then. That's what happened to him. But they haven't had that. They tell people on the trails just to be aware of the weather changing, you know, when you start to see the sky get dark and all that. But when you're at those high elevations, I mean, it's easy to say that, and I think the park is smart to warn people, but what can you do? I guess you have to just get to the lowest point you can get to, but that sounds ridiculous to say when you're at 11,000 feet. What are you going to do? Slide down the mountain? That's not possible. For anyone who's ever hiked, you know exactly what I mean. So one person dies, three others injured. And then another person died, the woman I told you about. So they're kind of freaked out about that. They're concerned, and they're going to add more signs because of two people in 2 days. I think it's just a freak occurrence. And when you hike, you know that this is unfortunately one of the possibilities of the quick weather changes where all of a sudden, boom. All right, here's another one of those moments where someone starts to talk about it and say, can you believe it? I was just up there. I took my family there. I can't believe that happened. I mean, this is one of the places that you go when you're sightseeing, when you're out there. And six people got burned, minor burns, after a fire broke out on the observation deck at Rockefeller Center on a Sunday night. A camera on one of the elevated parts of the deck caught fire, and that sent the embers from it falling onto people down below. And there's so many people, especially that walk around there on the weekend, that could have been hit by that. So that's not necessarily a surprise. There were a couple of people that were injured. They didn't want treatment. There was a kid that had to be taken to a hospital with minor injuries. And luckily they were able to get that fire out pretty quickly, because Rockefeller Plaza is the headquarters of NBC. It's the top of the rock. They call it the observation deck, and it's a massively popular tourist destination. So that's a freak thing. Who thinks of that's going to happen? Oh yeah, the camera's going to catch on fire. They're not thinking that. Who knows if they're even checking it? They're just checking to make sure the picture's good and it's operating. They're not looking for some kind of short in it that's going to lead to some kind of a strange fire. And since we're in this weird turn here at the tail end of this hour, why not go for this? So we had lightning strikes, we had a weird fire at 30 Rock. And then this is something I've been on several times. If you've been to Disney World, you know about the monorail system. You know, it takes you all over the park. And the monorail had to be evacuated. It had about 120 people or so on the monorail, and they had to be evacuated because of a power outage. And the weather caused the power outage, but now they're saying they were talking about lightning strike there, that was responsible for what happened. But turns out it wasn't that, some other weird thing with the power. And then suddenly, you got this monorail about 30 feet in the air, and the train, boom, grinds to some kind of a halt. They say it wasn't jolting, but they couldn't get out. So the air conditioner wasn't on. The train is hot as beyond all get out. And for 90 minutes, they wait for help, and the firemen come to help get them off. And apparently they were tweeting and doing whatever they could do. And the good news is nobody was seriously injured. They popped open the top hatch of the train car, and they ended up getting them, they could pry open the doors. They ended up getting them actually out through the doors. So just another weird kind of thing. You know, those everyday things, like I said, where you're just sort of not thinking about it. Hey, boom, I'm on this mountain, I'm hiking, and it's beautiful, woo, taking the pictures and everything, and then buff, all of a sudden changes lightning. Or you're just down below. How many times have I been there on Rockefeller Plaza? And certainly, yes, a fire can happen anywhere, but you're just not really thinking, like I said, that that would happen with one of the cameras. Do you think Argentina thought that they were going to lose to Germany? Probably not, but they did 1-0. That was what happened at the end. World Cup is over. So now the Germans move on with their fourth cup. And the world says goodbye to Brazil, because a lot of people were tuned into it, even just out of curiosity to see the scores and stuff. I'd say I call it rubbernecking television. So I was in a hotel a couple of weeks ago, and in their giant bars, they had all kinds of bars all over the place. I noticed a lot of people were watching, and they just wanted to know the score. They were from different places, and they would just catch little glimpses of it here and there, and I think this was the case in why so many people were, the ratings were so much better, because you had people you normally wouldn't see there that all of a sudden watching it, all of a sudden were watching it wherever they were, like the kind of scene that I saw. So Germany, world champs, fourth time, extra time winner, because that's what happened. And 113th minute is when the score happened. Tens of thousands of Argentinians had flooded Rio. They were hoping to see their team win a third World Cup. It did not happen. Lionel Messi, who's the star player for them, really had a lot of pressure on him, but it didn't happen. And instead, Germany walks away the winner. Hey, thanks for listening to this Hour of America Tonight. Any thoughts on the show, or if you want to vent about what's happening in this country or outside of this country or whatever, share it. AmericaTonight.net. Click on contact and bada bing, you are in, my friends.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective, and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.